Hello, everybody, and welcome to Vodcast episode number 118. Today I'm joined by Stephen.
Hi.
And Troy.
G'day.
G'day. Yes,
very
Australian.
Very Australian. So, as for the very first time in a very long time, we have actually had a Nintendo Direct just before we've recorded a podcast, not after. So we have so much news to get through. So we'll get straight into it. First of all, Splatoon finally has a release date. Originally, we thought it was coming out in May, but now it's coming out May 30th. So as far into May as they can possibly get.
They sure like to do that.
They really do. I think this is what they do with Mario Kart as well. Nintendo showed off a new trailer and stuff. They also showed off new amiibos for the game. So I think we talked about this a while ago that we thought it would be a cool idea. I don't know if what we thought they were doing is the same. Because I'm pretty sure, did they say it just adds extra missions?
Yeah, extra missions, and when you do, like when you beat them, you get exclusive like armor sets, clothes.
Yeah. Oh, like yeah, items and point. Stuff.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't think it's anything too... I mean, I wonder if people will get annoyed at this because, you know, Nintendo is starting to get to the point where they're actually locking content behind these things. But I don't know. They look cool.
Yeah, that's pretty much the only reason I want them. They look cool. Like,
they look really cool.
I look at my shelf of amiibo and just... I can't really think of any reason that I've bought them for... that actually anything they did in-game. Like, I've... only trained one in Smash, and I haven't really done much with the Toad and Captain Toad. That I feel like the stuff they do in games is kind of secondary to the fact that they're cool Nintendo things that I put on my shelf.
Yeah, and I think that's what it is for a lot of people. So at launch on May 30th, there will be boy and girl Inkling amiibos, and there will also be the Green Squid amiibo. So I don't know if he behaves any differently to the other ones, but... in Australia, he'll be exclusive to the triple pack, which is basically, you know, a pack of three amiibos, the boy, the girl, and the squid, all together for assumedly a cheaper price.
Hopefully.
Than buying them separately. In America, I think, there's actually a bundle, so it's like the game and the squid amiibo.
They showed that on the Direct as well, but I think it must be Europe-specific because...
Is it Europe? I don't know if it's Europe or America.
It was definitely on the Europe one anyway. Might be in America too.
So, so that is the thing. I'm pretty excited for Splatoon. I think we talked about it before. I'm really hoping it's really good. Nintendo plans to, like, support it, you know, post-launch, so hopefully it will have legs, like, beyond, you know, its first few weeks.
It's sort of the fact that they've been supporting games pretty long-term, like starting with Hyrule Warriors and Mario Kart, Smash now. We're, you know, getting lots of long-term support, so hopefully Splatoon gets the same thing. And the fact that it looks like they're really focusing on multiplayer. They've got actual ranked modes for it, which I don't think I've seen many games or many Nintendo games with that. So, yeah, I'm really kind of optimistic for this.
Yeah, me too. Like, I think... and I kind of want them to try... I don't know, you know, how well they will do because it's, you know, Wii U and the install base is quite small compared to the Wii. But I really want them to see, you know, kind of capturing a whole wide range of audiences with this. Because, you know, it's a shooting game, but it's a little bit more accessible than, say, you know, GTA or something like that. So
all the kids want to play GTA.
Yeah, they do.
And all the adults want to play Splatoon.
Yes.
Yeah, pretty much.
What kind of world do we live in?
The best one.
Yes.
Or half of
it. So, moving on. I think this is a surprise announcement. I don't know if you guys do, but Nintendo also announced that they will be bringing Fatal Frame 5 or Project Zero 5, depending on where you live, to Western territories later this year. So if people who don't know, Fatal Frame is a horror series. It was pretty much PlayStation only originally. But then the fourth one was on Wii only and only came out in Japan. There was a weird spin-off on 3DS and now the fifth one is on Wii U. So I think it's... I don't know if Nintendo owns it.
I think there's also Project Zero 2 on Wii.
Yes, how could I forget?
Yes.
They did a remake of Project Zero 2 for Wii as well, so...
I wonder if it's some, like... I don't know, deal that they're doing with the developers. Maybe it's kind of like no one else would publish it, so Nintendo will...
Yeah, like, I mean, it's just, it is really bizarre because it's not really, it's weird how Nintendo gets these weird mature games like Bayonetta and this one that as exclusives, like just really weird ones you wouldn't expect. But they're really good games, really creepy. So I haven't heard much about this one, but hopefully it's good.
Yeah. Well, yep. I've been getting into like the horror genre a bit more of an appreciation for it. So I'd be pretty keen to see this, especially with the camera mechanic.
Yeah, like because in the game it uses the gamepad for the camera because it's the first one made for just the Wii U.
It's pretty much what everyone said of Pokemon Snap. Even Vuk writes it in the article there.
Yeah, I wouldn't quite say it's like Pokemon Snap, but for Ghost, it's a bit more involved than that.
Creepy but, Ghost Snap.
Yeah, the storyline seems interesting as well. Like, you play as a girl who, her job is to kind of find ghosts and, you know, make them at peace so they can move on. She's like a ghost hunter of sorts.
She's closer to ghosts than Luigi is.
Yes, definitely. She doesn't just run in with a vacuum cleaner and murder them. So yeah, it'll probably be coming out end of the year, I'd say. I would love them to do like Halloween if they could.
Ooh, yeah, that'd be neat.
Super busy though, so who knows? Maybe that's going to be stupid if they do that. But didn't stop them with Bayonetta then again. But yeah, I'm pretty excited about this one.
Awesome.
Yes,
it makes me want to play Project Zero 2 that I've had sitting on my shelf for about 3 years.
Yes, well, you should, because we will be doing that. I think that we might be looking into that now with Project Zero 5 coming out later.
I actually think I bought Project Zero 2 because of the first episode of this podcast I was on. You guys were talking about it, and I was like, oh, I have to go buy that game, and I still haven't played it.
Yeah.
So,
well, that is my
true
effect.
Podcast legacy.
That is my effect on people. I get people to buy games they won't play.
Pretty much.
I am basically Steam.
You are
in
the
human
problem.
Form. Yes. So Nintendo was not modest with dating stuff. That was the most forced metaphor ever. But they also announced that Yoshi's Woolly World would be releasing in Australia and New Zealand on June 26th. So it finally has a date.
Much sooner than I expected.
Really?
I was actually expecting it end of year, like a Christmas thing.
Really? Oh, okay. So I think the most interesting thing with this is they really addressed my major concern, which was, you know, Epic Yarn was really easy. And, you know, this is the same team and it's kind of the same aesthetic. Like, I was worried that that would be the case with this. But if you guys saw in the Direct, they've announced there's Mellow Mode and I think just Normal Mode, is it?
I can't remember.
Yeah, so basically, like, they're going to make... And apparently, like, Normal Mode is actually going to be ridiculously hard. And then Mellow Mode is for people who can't really get through it without needing help. So, yeah.
It was interesting that they specifically talked about people who've been playing Yoshi for years because, like, as kids, we all thought Yoshi's Island 1 was really hard, but now we could probably just breeze through it. And it's interesting that they're... I guess the game seems to be growing up alongside us. I don't know, that's a really weird way of putting it.
Well, good one.
But you know what I mean.
Yeah, so I think that I'm actually a little bit more excited about it now. They're going to make it purposefully more difficult, especially, you know, if you're not playing on Mellow Mode. I just hope it's good. I am really reluctant after Yoshi's New Island, which was such a rehash of stuff.
I'm happy to see that they gave an Australian-specific release date and it's not going to get a, you know, four-month delay like Kirby is.
Yeah, like unnecessarily.
Yeah,
that's really weird. Now, yeah, so we'll have Kirby a month before that too. So, but yeah, I'm pretty happy. So along with that, they announced that, you know, the game will have Amiibo support The most interesting use of, like, implementation of Amiibo support is that the Amiibos themselves are yarn, like, woolen plushies. So
I love it so much. And they just have little Amiibo tags on their butts.
Yep. Yeah.
That's what the eggs are.
So basically, this one, I don't really know what they do. Like, I think that when you... tell us then, Troy. Go ahead.
You know how it's got that... buddy mode in the game?
Yes.
It basically adds like an AI that just follows you around like an egg.
So it
adds that color Yoshi behind you.
Yeah. So usually you would play multiplayer, like a second person would join in, but this is more of an AI.
Yeah. So you can turn them into like a yarn thing and throw them and, you know, for like all the two-player aspects of the game. Because it looks like the game does rely on that a fair bit.
Yeah, but they couldn't. Surely that doesn't mean it's compulsory, does it?
Not compulsory, just like there's going to be parts of the game that's not locked off.
That are designed for having two people, I guess.
Yeah, true.
I think like Little Big Planet.
Yeah, I think these are really cool.
It's interesting that they're, you know, I imagine there'll be a bit of a stink kicked up about, you know, if there's, you know, areas that you can only access with either a second player or an amiibo, people are going to be sad that you can't do it by yourself, but I don't know.
But then again, why wouldn't you want to buy one of these? Like, the game itself, yeah, is coming in a bundle as well, which includes one of the amiibos too, so... I mean, I guess if they only did that SKU, that would kind of tell you that it's required, so I assume it's not.
I wonder
hopefully it's priced like Mario Party, because that was, you know, still cheaper than a standard AAA game, even with the amiibo, so hopefully it's like that
great,
for this as well.
But I think that Mario Party was cheaper because it's the content. It's got less content than a usual game.
Well, it's got more content with the amiibo, which is...
And then my other thing as well that I was thinking is, you know, these amiibos don't have a confirmed price just yet either.
Ooh.
So... Who knows how much these are going to cost? Because I'm assuming it costs more to make them this way than the other way.
And I wonder if they'll be limited as well. Like, because I have to imagine they can't manufacture as many as they could just plastic molds.
Yeah.
And I'm probably going to buy them.
Or like, yeah, I've, I won't lie, I've ordered all of them. Just in case. But I don't know if I'll get them all in the end. But yeah, like, I'm really hoping that they're reasonably priced. I mean, do you guys think that... How much do you guys reckon would be too much?
$20.
I reckon $20 is probably the highest you could go.
I imagine it being about $25, if I'm being honest.
Yeah. I mean, and then the bundle's what, like $100 instead of $79?
Yeah, that wouldn't be too bad.
Oh, no, that would have to... No, it still has to be cheaper.
Oh.
So, like, $89 or something. I don't know. We'll see when it comes out.
Yeah.
Because the confirmed price for the game itself is $80, so...
Okay.
Because this is
That's pretty much standard Wii U, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, whereas Mario, I think, is $69 officially.
The main thing I'm curious about is if the green Yoshi's going to work in Smash Brothers. As, like, a Yoshi
Yeah,
amiibo.
Like, if it's still a Yoshi... I'm not sure, actually.
I think it might, because, I mean, the Mario Party Yoshi does, and I imagine that they're just Yoshis. I would imagine that sort of on the technical, you know, the actual NFC chip inside is probably a standard Yoshi, is my guess.
Yeah. Some other, just before we move on, some other things I've heard about these are people just have said to me that they would prefer just a Yoshi plush as like a pre-order bonus. Would you guys have preferred that, or would you rather it be an amiibo?
I mean, why not both? Amiibo plush.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really see why not.
Yeah, people just want things for free, really, I guess.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think it's pretty cool.
I love it.
I'm interested to see how they will, like, if they will go any more weirder with amiibos in the future. So, I mean, actually, one game that we're about to talk about could probably, you know, use amiibos in a really interesting way if they decided to, is Mario Maker, which is bizarrely still a retail title.
Interesting.
And it will be releasing in September, so I believe that's the 30th anniversary for Mario.
Yeah.
Is that time. I feel like this game has taken way longer than it should have. Do you guys at all?
I mean, there's a lot of moving parts, and giving people tool sets to make things, it means it's probably more likely to break, so I guess there's probably a lot of testing involved. That's my only guess.
No, that's true.
Is the 30th anniversary in September?
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it in September? I just assumed.
I'm pretty sure that's what they said on the direct, so maybe they're just holding it off
that. That's what I was thinking. That'd be the only excuse I could think of.
So, basically, I think they 100% confirmed in this direct that you can save and upload your levels to the Miiverse, and there's a rating system as well.
I don't think they specifically said Miiverse. They definitely said
really?
Could be shared online, but I don't remember them saying Miiverse.
I kind of
but
assumed.
I might be wrong.
I know I assumed that, so maybe that's just me.
Hopefully, if it's not Miiverse, hopefully it's better than Miiverse, because I imagine that's not the best way to share
levels.
They
probably have like an in-game browser or something like that.
Yeah, something like Little Big Planet.
Or maybe they're going to make Miiverse better because of the whole news that I think in the last podcast you guys would have talked about.
Oh,
DNA
yeah, the whole DNA accounts.
Maybe Miiverse will get a bit of a bolstering with that.
Potentially.
Who knows?
So Nintendo Nintendo also said that they had more plans for the 30th anniversary of Mario, which is not like... I'm a little bit over Mario. I just think, you know, why not celebrate Samus's anniversary?
She exists. No, we need to get another version of Mario All-Stars.
She exists.
Celebrate who, sorry?
Samus.
Who's that?
Oh, I see. Yeah, no. Yeah, good one. Sorry. Good one. No. Rubbing salt in my wounds. So one thing I like about this is how, I don't know if you guys noticed in the screenshot that we put up, is how in the top left you can kind of switch between the different styles.
Yeah, they showed that in action on the direct as well. It looked really cool. It's kind of, I don't know if it's good or bad that you can, like, you know, have a level that was designed to look like Mario 3 and then instantly it looks like Super Mario Bros. Wii U. Does that say that the Super Mario Bros. U is basically the same thing?
Or, yeah, are they throwing shade at themselves?
The thing I noticed when I switched between that, there was a fairly hefty load time. But it was to be expected going from 2D to 3D, but it was notable.
Yeah. I'm interested to see how this will go, how it's going to be priced, and how if it's going to be done well.
I'd say it'd be like a $60 title.
Yeah, but we'll see.
I mean, sort of my initial thought would be that it would want to be lower priced to get more people making stuff for it, but, I mean, then you've got the series of, like, Little Big Planet where they were still just regular retail titles and they've still got heaps of stuff made for it, so...
Yeah, that's true, and that's Little Big Planet. Like, it doesn't have as much brand power as Mario does, so...
This could have a story mode.
Sony tried.
Weird, though.
So, in keeping with the, I guess, surprises, is Nintendo showed off the very first proper trailer for the Atlus and Nintendo collaboration, which, as we know, I think was announced 2 years ago as Shin Megami Tensei Cross Fire Emblem. It is now still called... It's got a new weird name, I think, like a name with hashtags in it.
I don't know, like the trailer like just calls it Shin Megami Tensei and Fire Emblem Crossover Project. But,
in Japan it's called Illusory Revelations hashtag FE. Like,
wow,
I don't know.
What?
Yeah, like, I don't know what the deal is. But anyway, so Nintendo basically confirmed this was still in the works. I'm kind of surprised to see it looks like it's a full-on RPG. Like, it's not just... I thought it was going to be like a weird strategy game.
Yeah, it actually surprised me that way as well. I was expecting a crossover of gameplay styles between SMT and Fire Emblem, but it looks more like
Persona? Like,
yeah, it looks like a Shin Megami Tensei game with guest characters from Fire Emblem, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like, honestly, like, as anyone who knows me will know that this art style and kind of look does not appeal to me at all, but I'm sure the gameplay will be really good. I'm interested to see... It's definitely coming out next year, so 2016, but I'm interested to see how it will turn out. Like, is it going to be just a Persona game with, you know, Fire... Because I feel like it looks very Persona-y, the way that they were talking about how, you know, life goes on in a different world and how you go into the new world and stuff like that.
Yeah, that is definitely a very Persona sort of trope.
Yeah.
Like the whole dual worlds happening and one affects the other and stuff like that.
Yeah, and so I think it feels more like a Persona crossover now than what was originally shown.
I'm completely fine with that, just by the way.
Yeah, I'm sure you are. I don't really, like, mind either way. I'm glad it's more of a full-on RPG because I would get into that more than a strategy game. But it is pretty far away, so
yeah,
pretty hard to talk about. The trailer looked interesting, like, full-on over the top. Very, kind of reminded me of those weird Japanese RPGs that have, like, ridiculous names with, like, that are made up and they're...
Like Atelier Tatori.
Yeah, or, like, Arconel. Like, it's...
Lock and Seal.
Those weird, butchered European / Japanese names.
Well, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't know what the term is for them, but it looks like one of them. But, yeah, it's interesting. I want to see how it turns out in the end. I wonder who's making it, like if it's Intelligent Systems or it's just...
I'd say, by looking at how it plays and it seems to be more focused on the Shin Megami Tensei side of things, I'm pretty sure it's going to be just mainly Atlus with probably Nintendo making sure they don't ruin Marth.
Because that's,
like,
all they care about.
To a terrible character.
If she even shows up, you know what I mean.
So that, I guess that wraps up the, like, physical retail kind of news that we were talking about for Wii U. Interestingly, not a lot for 3DS. Wasn't
we're already having a pretty busy year for 3DS, in my opinion.
Are we?
Considering that the 3DS is starting to get long in the tooth? Yes?
Yeah, I guess. Maybe. I don't know. I kind of expect more. But anyway, so we'll move on to the kind of eShop or retail. I mean, yeah, eShop news.
Things you get from the internet.
Things, yes. Things that you don't buy from EB Games or JV. So Nintendo announced that the Mario Kart 8 Animal Crossing downloadable content pack is releasing on April 23rd, so it's pretty soon.
I'm so happy we're not waiting until May, June for this.
I was going to say, yeah, did they move it up?
They did,
May.
Okay, so, yeah, so that's always good. I think it adds Isabelle and the villagers.
And Dry Bowser.
And that's right, yeah. And then there's I think there's two cups, but we haven't seen all the tracks in all of them yet.
Yeah, so...
we've seen the Animal Crossing one, I think.
Yeah, so on top of that, Nintendo also kind of dropped a bomb, I guess, about Mario Kart in that they're going to be adding 200cc class to the game. So super fast.
Happy with that.
Yeah, something that I think a lot of people, like as you guys probably know, I don't follow Mario Kart too much as the other franchises, but I know that this is something that I guess more advanced players have been kind of clamoring for a very long time.
Well, I mean, last time I played Mario Kart for a long period, it was, you know, me and a couple of other people, and we were consistently at the front of the front of the standings at the end with 150cc hard CPUs. So this is going to be, you know, give us something to race against that's not just other people. And it looks like it actually changes up the way a lot of the tracks play as well. Like there's certain, like you could probably jump over entire areas because you're going fast enough to skip certain parts. In the trailers, it looked like you could actually change your path because you're just going so much faster. I'm good at words.
More faster.
Well, Nintendo uploaded a video today where they're showing off, I think it was Grumble Volcano. It was a completely different racing line than what I usually use in that track. You basically go over a corner, which would normally slow you down, but you just hop because you're going so fast. You just skip the entire part.
Oh, it's interesting. Nuts. It just has me so excited to just go through and just play every track sequentially just to see how all of them are different in this new high speed.
Freestyle all of them.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, yeah. Got to do that. Twice as many tracks now.
Yeah.
Good.
Do you guys reckon they'll do more stuff for Mario Kart after this, or would you be happy if they left it?
I'd be very happy with
more. I feel like there's enough.
Ooh,
yeah, I'd be happy with more. I feel like there's enough. Like, I wouldn't be disappointed if they left it at this, but I wouldn't say no either way.
They also, I think they announced as well that they're adding amiibo compatibility
I think it was
more figurines.
9 or 11 or something like that.
Which, as you guys probably know already, is, you know, they add the costumes to the characters. I saw Rosalina works with it now.
Sonic. I think Pac-Man.
Yeah, I think I saw Pac-Man as well.
Let me look behind me.
That's going to be so bizarre. Like, it's not actually Sonic and Pac-Man, but it's a me wearing a Sonic hat, and it's going to be just as weird.
I think Bowser was in there.
Killed Sonic and...
just inhabited his skin.
Yes.
Lisa Travers of Sonic.
Leatherface, yeah. Like, probably had... I wouldn't be surprised.
Villager as well, actually.
Sonic's...
Which would be weird. Yeah.
Maybe it's just the realization of all that fan art sent into Nintendo Power or N64 Gamer.
They want every character to be a serial killer.
Yes. Turok kills all the Pokemon.
Yep. Speaking of... Speaking of Amiibo, but maybe not. Nintendo have also announced that they're going to be doing a new Pokemon Rumble game. So this is probably... The only thing I know about Pokemon Rumble is that it was probably the first game that Nintendo made that used the figurines. They weren't actually Amiibo back then.
It was
then.
Like before Amiibo existed. Mm.
Like there were still figurines, but I mean, I don't really know how they worked or how many different figurines were manufactured. But obviously it didn't do that well because not many people know
Never
about
came to
it.
Australia.
Apparently it wasn't a very good game.
Did it come to... No. It didn't, did it?
I had to import mine from the UK.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So, it's going to be what Nintendo are calling a free-to-start game, so there's paid content included in there, and it's... I think the Pokemon Rumble games, they're just, you know, kind of dead, well, not dead, like flat action games, aren't they? Like, you just chuck, you get a Pokemon, you run around, you can, like, it's real-time combat.
Yeah.
It kind of looks like an iOS, like, survival shooter, but, like, you don't have guns, obviously, but kind of like that Age of Zombies, that sort of where you're just running around and hitting things and running away from things. It looks very, very shallow.
Yeah, like single-player Dota.
Yeah, like, I've never heard good things about this series, like, this sub-series. Like, it's always kind of been, yeah, this is good, but, like, it could be better and deeper, and it never is, so...
Yeah.
Interested to see how it turns out, I guess.
I'm actually a fairly big fan of the franchise, so to see it in this kind of free-to-start form, I'm not too happy with it.
You're not?
No.
Because...
I don't know. In my opinion, that just means that Nintendo think it's dead and the only way to make money off it is to make it addictive.
Yeah, but, like, I think at the same time, like, with Pokemon Shuffle, for example, that's not a bad game by any means. Like, it's like, got this kind of aspect to it that makes you just want to keep playing it.
Yeah.
I think.
I don't know.
I think,
it's
like, if they thought it was...
Franchise. Well, not my favorite franchise, but a franchise that I really enjoy. This feels like exploitation, but... We'll
I bet that you'll still enjoy it. I think
it'll really hinge on, like, exactly what the free-to-play or free-to-start model is, like, what you get for free and, you know, whether they're going to be nickel and diming you for coins to, you know, play every, you know, can't play, you got to wait 5 minutes or something like that, or if it's actually just, you know, you buy the Pokemon you like or you buy new levels or something like that. When it's actual content that you want, like, then I don't find that too bad myself, but when they actually... hold you back to say, no, you're not allowed to play, you have to wait 10 minutes and then make you pay, then that's... I don't really like that idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
We'll see.
Free-to-play is a whole big thing we could talk about for a whole episode, I'm sure.
Yeah, probably. So we'll move on quickly. pretend that we haven't run away from it. So Nintendo also showed off a brand new app, which they called, I guess, is it not Touch and Play? I don't know if that's the name or not. So basically, the idea is that you launch this app, you tap your Amiibo to the gamepad, and you get to play a short demo of sorts. Of
3-minute snippet.
Of a game. I don't know what the point of this is. Like, do they want us to sell us virtual console games, or...
I think so, yeah. Like it seems like it's kind of similar to those masterpieces in Smash, where it's just this tiny little timed demo that you can play, although it's a little bit more than that because you can tap the Amiibo and get different parts of the game, so you can sample not just like the first level or something, you can sample a couple of different, you know, tracks in a racing game or something. But yeah, it's not something that you're gonna, you know, play for any length of time because it'll stop after 3 minutes.
I just find it so weird, like, who's going to do this and why?
I think they went
I feel
the
like
wrong
demos
direction.
Shouldn't be locked yeah like demos shouldn't be locked behind Amiibos. Demos should be something that everyone gets, so everyone buys games.
And it's not even it's not like, you know, chuck Samus on the gamepad and you get to play a demo of Metroid. Apparently it's completely random.
Like Forrest Gump.
I don't know, like, I just find that really weird. Like, why wouldn't they make it
That would be good for someone
get
who
it.
Went
like
I bought this Amiibo because he looked cool and like him in Smash Brothers. I wonder what game they were from.
Yeah, like, here, let's tap them.
Yeah.
And then they tap Samus there, and then you just get another Mario game. They're like, oh.
Yeah.
I guess they already have those demos in Smash Bros. Anyway, like,
yeah,
most of the characters.
Yeah. Or you tap Samus, and they're like, sorry, we don't know who this is. They're like, error.
You must want to play with Donkey Kong.
Your Wii U just explodes.
No, it loads up Other M.
Oh, God.
The opening
Go back and listen to that episode, everyone.
The opening cutscene. Actually, someone mentioned the other day that, you know, apparently the whole Metroid mainline series now, besides one game, is on the eShop. How crazy is that?
Yeah, it's pretty great. It's the same with Zelda. Like, if you have a 3DS and a Wii U, you can play everything. Like, literally every Zelda game.
Crazy. Speaking of the eShop, though, Nintendo have announced that they will be chucking up 2 more Wii games onto the Wii U eShops to be played. Assumedly. Sin and Punishment 2 and Pandora's Tower were both games that had a very limited print run, very hard to find now. So I think it's good that they did this. It's kind of interesting.
And they're even putting them on sale for the first week, like for $19.
I was going to say, not as generous as before, where it was 50% off, but now it's, you know, 25% off, which is still good.
But, I mean, still, if you look at what you'd be looking at for a physical copy of either of these games, you'd be, you know, even the regular $26 price, you'd be paying multiple times that.
Yeah, and interesting to note that, you know, there were three games in this kind of range that were announced and kind of released around the same year. This one, Pandora's Tower, Sin and Punishment, and Xenoblade. However, Xenoblade is absent, but
well,
you can probably...
we all know why that is.
Yes, we can probably fill the dots in.
Tell me.
But yeah, I'm really, like, happy that people can play this because I really liked Pandora's Tower. I think it's a really weird game, but a really fun game.
We should do a VCR on this as well.
We could easily do one, yeah.
It's another one that I've had sitting since I started doing the bookcast and never played.
Yeah, really, like, I really enjoyed it. Sin and Punishment I'd love too, but, you know, it's kind of more of the same as the first one, and, you know, it doesn't last that long. It's, if you're not someone who's an arcadey kind of score attack kind of guy or girl.
Well, are they like hack and slash games or JRPGs or...
So, Sin and Punishment is like a rail shooter, kind of like, you know, old school Star Fox, just with a bit more spectacle.
Yep.
Whereas Pandora's Tower is this weird mission, like it's kind of a dungeon crawl, a roguelike almost, mixed with the time mechanics of Majora's Mask, mixed with a kind of dating simulator. It's a really weird...
You had me at dating simulator.
It's it's not like a creepy one, but it's just a really bizarre. Sorry,
you know, I'll probably get it.
Yeah. It's a really weird game, but I would definitely recommend it for what, $19? I think it is. Yeah,
$19.50 is going to be the sale price.
Yeah. So, never one to stop at putting old games up on their store and selling them for money. Nintendo also announced that they will be officially, I guess, in a more complete capacity, offering Nintendo 64 and Nintendo DS games through the Wii U Virtual Console.
Oh, yeah.
So that means, as far as I'm aware, does that mean they have full Miiverse support with screenshots and stuff as well?
Yep. Yeah, I saw heaps of screenshots on there for Mario 64. I just saw a hilarious post that was like, this game looks like a 64 game.
Like, I hope that was being ironic.
I imagine it was.
Yeah. Who knows, though, today? Metroid Can't Crawl generation. So Nintendo basically put up Super Mario 64 and Collect-a-thon Donkey Kong 64 up on the eShop, as well as Mario Kart DS and WarioWare Touched. If you buy three, you get the fourth one for free, I think.
Yep.
Yes.
Which to me is just a way to try and give away WarioWare Touch, because who would buy that by itself?
Man, I would buy that instead of Mario Kart DS. Why would I buy Mario Kart DS when I have 7 and 8?
Oh, that's a good point.
It's very pixelated too.
But then why would you want it free? I don't know.
Like if I wanted, you know, I've got Mario 64, and if I was a crazy person, I want a Donkey Kong 64, maybe I could just get WarioWare as well and then Mario Kart 3. I don't know.
Wow. Way to throw those Donkey Kong fans under the bus, Steven.
We did that for a whole hour in a couple of episodes ago.
Yes, maybe we did.
Well, I'm actually looking to get my Donkey Kong 64 because I've never played it before. But
you just need to set aside a spare 200 hours and you'll be fine.
Oh, I've got lots of time.
Lots and lots of time.
I think it literally has the record for the most collectibles in a video game.
We actually did the maths in the last VCR episode that we did for it, and it has at least 500, maybe more, collectibles.
More.
I feel like it was more. But anyway, have any of you guys got any of these games yet?
Yeah, I got...
I did get Mario 64.
Yeah.
Have you had... Do they run well? Are they pretty? Are they 60 FPS?
They are upscaled, I swear to God.
I'm pretty sure they're like pretty much how they were on the Wii, where they look a hell of a lot clearer than they did on the 64, just because I don't have that blurry, weird anti-aliasing that every game did on the 64. Everything's like, you know, sharp. And some games that's not so great for. I was watching a friend play DK64, and you can kind of see the parts where the meshes of the characters don't quite meet up, where you wouldn't see that on an old TV with a blurry filter on the 64, but
yeah.
You know, it kind of looks like Donkey Kong's made out of little parts that don't quite fit together. But yeah, it looks overall, I think they both look I don't think they're upscale to 720 or 1080p or anything like that, but they look good enough to not look bad on a big TV.
I was looking pretty hard.
Good enough to not look bad.
They do look like they're higher resolution at the very least. Like, the pixels are much smaller.
I think that might just be, you know, like a side effect of, you know, outputting it through, say, a HDMI cable, whereas, as opposed to...
Well, I'm looking at the Jaggies, basically, and they're not chunky. Yeah. They're actually tiny, like you'd expect on a PC port of a video game where you're used to a lower resolution.
Yeah.
It looks like it's, like, being emulated at a higher resolution. I don't know.
I'd like to actually find out. Yeah, like, because I do know what you mean. It does look nicer than you expect Mario 64 to look, and I don't know if that's just because it's being upscaled by the TV or if it's being upscaled internally, but yeah, I'd like to find out. Hopefully Digital Foundry tells us one day.
Do they control as well? Because I know the sticks are different to, you know, the sticks that the 64 had.
It's really weird because I'm used to twin stick games, and Mario 64 of course relied on the C buttons.
Yeah.
So I keep on like trying to control the camera independently, and it just like whoop, like it's
he's got to lock it behind him every time.
Yeah, and then I keep on hitting like the ZR button because I'm used to like the ZL button is crouch, and then the ZR button is your virtual console settings button.
Oh wow! Yeah.
But it is good that you can completely remap every button though.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
If you go into that virtual console settings button, like I remember, I think I had the same problem with Metroid Fusion. You can just put that. That setting on a completely different button, or actually, I think what you can do, or what I did with one of the games, is I set it so on the like the Pro Controller, there was no button to get into the Virtual Console settings, so I couldn't possibly accidentally do it.
Whoa.
So it would just mean if I wanted to go into settings, I'd do it on the gamepad.
You're smart.
I liked it. So.
Anyway,
Scott.
But yes, no, they're good. I think they control pretty well. Like I'm not super familiar with how Mario 64 controlled back then, because the only time I ever played it was on controllers that were broken as heck anyway, so
yeah,
this is a hell of a lot better than that.
Those sad-looking control sticks that droop to the side.
Yeah, so we'll just chuck them in there.
Yeah. I don't even know if this is eShop news technically, but we're going to talk about it. Nintendo also announced that they're doing an Animal Crossing Happy Home Designer game. It is going to be Amiibo compatible. It's going to be, I guess, their flagship game for the Amiibo reader for the 3DS, and which will be releasing at the same time. And they're doing Amiibo cards for it. So... I don't know what to think of this. I don't really... This is not going to be for me, I don't think.
Yeah,
I don't think it's going to be for...
I think I'm the same. Like, yeah. The game itself, I know people that might be right into this. Like, from what I gather, the game is basically, you know, you get given a specification for the kind of house that a villager wants, and you have to do your best to decorate and organize a house with the things that they would like, and then you get a rating at the end of it. And I think the cards add new characters that you can make their house...
Yeah, characters cool. And items, because I've heard a really horrible rumor as well. They're going to be offered the cards. They're going to be offered through booster packs.
Oh,
I hope that's not true.
I'm going to be homeless.
That would be a pain. That would be a pain in the ass.
Yeah, and I think if anyone's seen my Animal Crossing house, they know that I don't put much effort into organizing things. I just have a mess of garbage. It's like my real house. But yeah, I know that there are people that are really into that, so they might enjoy this.
I'm looking forward to it.
I mean, it's interesting that, you know, that card thing that we were talking about a while ago has come to fruition of sort, kind of, since we talked about it, so...
I'm really glad that they went this way, because every time I talk to friends here about Amiibo, I'm like, if they do an Animal Crossing range, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Yeah, we can only hope that the cards are not $17 each.
I would hope not as well.
$17 for a booster pack of three, probably.
God. Actually, something we forgot to talk about that we will quickly talk about is Nintendo also showed off new Amiibo for Smash Bros. The next wave after the Anzac Day wave, as I like to call them, is Greninja and Jigglypuff. And then following that, Palutena, Dark Pit, Ganondorf, and Zero Suit Samus. And then after that, we've got Olimar, Bowser Jr., and Dr. Mario. So Nintendo's pumping them out.
Waves.
Yeah, yeah, especially, you know, that...
Spread out your spending.
Yeah.
Spread out their production.
That too. I think I asked Stephen before, do you guys plan on getting any out of these this wave? I've ordered all of them already.
I was just going to say, I've been mulling it over, and I think I'm going to get all of them. because yeah. that's what I've done so far.
I don't know.
I want to leave.
You guys do it?
Because
I just can't imagine spending that much money. I look at how much I have and realize how much money I've spent on those already. And
that's
I just,
the trick.
I just curl
if you
up
don't
into
think
a ball.
About it. It's okay.
Yeah, we just don't think. We just spend. We just throw our wallet at the computer.
Like, I think I can go one day without food this week if I get all the amiibo.
Yeah, I literally went without lunch so I could pre-order one of them because I was scared they were going
to
sell out.
But, to get all of these amiibo, you have to go without a week of rent.
I don't pay rent at the moment, so that's all right.
I don't neither do I. So that's
well, maybe that's the difference between you and
yes,
us.
That,
well,
yes,
when do I pay rent? Come back and ask me then.
We live a life of luxury and amiibo.
I just look forward to 12 months' time when you're just taking them all into cash converters trying to scrape together a rent check.
Excuse me, please. I will not be going to cash converters.
Yeah, I'm taking my Skylanding. I've got all like a full collection of the first wave. I'm saving that.
Oh, wow. How
are you guys?
That's crazy. My rent money one anyway.
I'm going to get Zero Suit Samus at least. I don't know of any others. There are lots that I would want, but I think I will limit myself to one so I don't have to cry lots.
You say this every wave.
I know. I know I said I didn't want to get into Amiibo at all, and now look at me.
It's just so well made.
It's a mess.
I think I will pre-order just one, and then the rest, if I see them in shops, then I'll just buy them because it was fate.
Yes, there we go.
That way I don't have to make choice.
It's just like that movie, Serendipity, except with Amiibo.
It's exactly like that movie.
Anyway. romantic comedies aside, Nintendo also announced that they'll be doing Mewtwo and Lucas amiibos whenever those characters come out. But you guys are probably thinking, but James, Lucas isn't in Smash Bros. Well, he is.
Wow.
Shut up.
Yep.
What a surprise.
Yep, he's coming in, I think they said June. I saw June on the Nintendo Australia Facebook page.
Yep.
So,
yeah, it says June.
Pretty cool. I like Lucas. He's got cool powers, and he has cool hair, and he has a rope snake, so...
He's way better than Ness,
yeah,
let's be honest.
Ness is shit.
Someone pointed out as well, June is E3 month, so there could be some sort of crossover. Maybe there's going to be some sort of announcement, because they keep on saying he's from Mother 3, or also only released in Japan. It just seems like a weird
they
clarification.
Do
like they're putting emphasis on that.
Anyway, that's a very fan thing to say.
We can
say.
Be very wishful.
I'm only just playing through a film right now, so I'm not really a fan.
Alright. So, no, that's fine. I'm not doubting you. So, Nintendo also revealed that Mewtwo will be coming at the end of the month, I think. Is it 28?
Yeah, it's April 28th for the regular everyone, but, but people who did the... That Club Nintendo thing where you register both the 3DS and Wii U version and get him on the 15th, which
the
is kind of awesome.
Is that you, Steven?
That is me.
That's me too. Did any of you listeners forget? Because if you did, then shame on you.
You missed out on a soundtrack and early Mewtwo.
On top of that, Nintendo also showed off their new kind of character poll system, which I'm sure they're regretting setting up after seeing all the entries on the internet.
Yep.
Basically, Nintendo plan to support the game with more characters post-launch, but they want to know who we want in the game. So you can... I don't even know what the address is. I'm not going to tell you it because you're probably going to put something stupid in there, but it is available.
Way
if
to
you
assume
look.
The worst of our audience.
I know.
Well,
everyone, the highest caliber of
everyone
person
requesting,
listens.
Like, Leon Kennedy, like...
Goku will win.
I think my favorite one so far is the guy from the Wii Remote warning things.
Yeah, like that's I would have
the reckless Wii Remote user.
It. Reckless Silhouette Man or something.
He has
like that would be cool. Yeah, like he could there's so much potential there. And that's weird and wacky. Like, yeah, I guess, like grown up Mr. Game & Watch. Maybe that's what Mr. Game & Watch became. I just feel like that weird and wacky kind of selection is really good, like Wii Fit Training, you know, things you don't really expect, but it'll be interesting to see who makes it in. I feel like this means Ridley might be made in, but because there's such big outcry for
the Hedgehog.
It, as we
surely
all.
They'd heard the outcry earlier though.
Nah, but I don't know, as we were saying as well, like is Sakurai even involved with this now? Like have they just handed it off to someone else?
Who knows? Give Sakurai a rest maybe.
Yes, maybe he's asleep.
It's Namco Bandai that do the development for it anyway.
Yeah, but they're pretty busy now, aren't they? They've got Project Treasure and they've got Tekken 7 and...
Well, I'm assuming that would have different development teams, but I don't know. Sure.
Yeah, I know, but like what I'm... Yeah, well, I don't know. Well, we'll see, I guess. Yes, who knows? It's a mystery. So then to just finish up the news, as always, we'll do bad news. Because we like to end on a low note. Nintendo have come out and officially confirmed that The Legend of Zelda for Wii U is being pushed back to 2016.
I'd like to say I saw this coming. I probably didn't, but it didn't surprise me.
I could be wrong, but go on back and listen to old episodes. The one where they announced Star Fox, the VGA episode that we did, and I'm pretty sure I predicted this. Because I remember when they said, yeah, Star Fox is coming and it's out before Zelda. To me, that wording was just so weird. Like, it made me think that they didn't say, you know, the wording just made me think that they were going to push back Zelda. And then the fact that they only had the footage as a screen, like a TV.
You didn't have any sort of direct feed. It was like pulling you away for it so you couldn't see like minor details that probably weren't done.
Yeah, I just found that really bizarre as well. So, basically, I think Eiji Onuma just uploaded a video, like, randomly on YouTube, like, as a development update or something, and basically said, you know, the project has become much more ambitious, I think, than we thought it would be. We want to give you the absolute best game we can. So we're pushing it back.
I mean, I'm okay with it. Like,
I don't really care. I mean,
I feel like it was far enough. It was far enough away that I wasn't really hyped up about the release date anyway.
Yeah, that's like, true.
It was exciting, but I wasn't like, man, I can't wait till November because I didn't know it was November.
Yeah, so, no, and that's. I think that's a pretty normal response. I'm not too fussed. I've got so many games to play between now and then anyway.
Yeah.
And then Nintendo has Star Fox this year as well, which presumably will be good.
Oh, maybe that'll be blocked. Maybe that'll come late.
Yes.
Surely it won't.
I feel like it won't. I think Star Fox is very far along, much further along than they're admitting. And then who knows? Maybe Metroid is coming out this year.
If you keep saying it, it'll keep coming
yep.
true.
Have you not read that stupid book that Oprah read, The Secret? If you wish it, it will happen. That's the main gist of it.
It's all wish for Metroid.
Yeah, it is that easy, Troy.
Oh, I'm saying if I had known it was that easy, I would have done it sooner.
Let's get the word out.
Yes.
Everyone buy The Secret.
Yes. Anyway, with that, I think that we should probably go to a break, and we'll return to talk about new releases and recent releases that aren't that new. So, we have gone way over time for news, so we will just talk about the biggest new release for the past, I guess, week or so. And it is Xenoblade Chronicles 3D. So, for people who don't know, Xenoblade Chronicles 3D is the first Nintendo new 3DS exclusive game. You can't play on the old consoles because they can't run it, apparently. It's like a good mix of, I guess, classic Japanese RPG games with, these modern features to kind of bring it forward. It's the game that Shulk is from is generally what I say to people if they don't know what I'm talking about, and they're like, oh, that's who he is. I thought he was from Fire Emblem. And I'm like, no.
It's the game where that character from that really rare amiibo is from.
Yes. The amiibo that is rarer than the game.
Yes.
So, I finished it ages ago. I haven't finished the 3DS one, but I got pretty far in it before I put it down and said, okay, I've played enough. Back then, I really liked the way the game kind of,
it's definitely thingy.
There is a word I can't think. It's gone. Streamlined.
That's a good word.
Streamlined. I like the way that the game streamlined a lot of, the micromanaging that you do in a lot of these games. But playing it now, like, a lot of the stuff that happened in the original game has kind of become more of a, like a standard for these kinds of games now, so it's less impressive, I guess. It just feels like a game that's released now.
Does
that make sense?
I guess you're kind of saying that it can't possibly feel as innovative as it did 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah, like that's probably the best way to
become the standard.
That's the best way to say it. And that, to me, is not a bad thing. Like, it kind of means it's kind of stood up the test of time, even though the test of time is, 2 to 3 years.
I guess as long as it doesn't feel dated at this point, then that's pretty good.
Yeah, and it doesn't. I don't think it does at all. I think it's still... The problems and stuff that it had back then, it still has now. A lot of them are visual problems, in my opinion. Like, the faces and stuff especially are just so weird-looking in this game.
The eyes.
Like, yeah, they look like... They look scary. They look like pop vinyls if they were people.
Well, it just looks like their faces were painted with pastels.
Yeah, and I think the same things happened in X, the new one. Like, the faces just don't look right. And it's just...
In that one, it looks like their faces are too small for their heads.
Yeah. They don't have an art team that does things right in terms of faces.
It looked amazing. I've got the trailer on TV at work.
Yeah.
And every time I watch it, I'm like, this looks amazing. Jumping off the cliff, blah, 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 blah. And then it shows their faces and it's just...
It's like... It's
never mind.
Yeah. I really do like the game, though. Like, it really... I don't think a game has been a kind of attempted of this scale on a handheld before, and I think it's probably the best one to do because you can save anywhere at any time. It's very actiony; like you pick up, you get straight into it. You don't waste a lot of time going through menus and stuff because a lot of them, like a large majority of the menus, are opened up in real time. So kind of like, I mean. It's not a very
good comparison. Contextually, like based on what you're doing, they're kind of just there when you need them?
Like if you want to open up your menu to check some stats or something, like, you know, it pops up while you're running around. If that makes sense.
So you don't go to a separate screen.
Kind of like, yeah, Bloodborne. Like it's not the same game, but you know how that all pops up, overlays and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And like even, you know, I know that this wasn't a thing that Xenoblade did first, but, you know, it's probably... is where, like, the enemies and stuff appear on screen. You can kind of choose to approach them or not, rather than having them just appear out of nowhere and being swamped over to another battle screen. Like, it's all...
I love that.
Yeah, like, it's all kind of just there. And, you know, if you're in a rush, you can just avoid the enemies as best you can. Whereas if you're playing, say, for example, an old Final Fantasy game, you know, you don't know when the enemy's going to pop up. Or even Pokemon, you know. Like, they're not visible on the screen until you're in battle with them.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's pretty much it, and I like that aggro, which is typically like an MMO sort of mechanic.
Or even Dark Souls, I guess. It's a Bloodborne. I
haven't played that series, unfortunately. Yeah, so, my computer crapped out.
Yeah, but yeah, what were you saying?
Yeah, I just like that, so you know exactly what's going to happen, how to avoid fights, and aggro is just a really good way of kind of managing a fight. It does a little bit of micromanaging for you in that respect.
And like...
It keeps the battle kind of manageable. You know exactly what's happening.
Yeah, and, you know, I like the way that, you know, you don't have to... It's not... Obviously, the battle system isn't menu-based. It's, you know, real-time. So when you're near an enemy, you will automatically attack them, but then you can, you know, use your inputs to change the course of your attack. So, like, you can do different arts, as they call them, and they have different effects depending on where you hit the enemy. So, like, you've got a bit of, like, I guess, strategy in trying to get behind an enemy or attacking them from the side.
Yeah, a little Monster Hunter-ish.
Yeah.
I might be completely, like, wrong in saying this, but it sounds a little bit like it takes... kind of like what Final Fantasy 13 did with the battle system, where you're not controlling every individual attack, but more sort of the direction that the battle goes. Is that...
It's similar.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's not 13. I kind of see what you mean.
Like, I it sounds like there's a bit more because you're actively controlling positioning and where you're hitting, but you're not.
I guess like
selecting
with,
attacks from a menu and then waiting for the thing to let you do the next.
I guess
turn.
With 13, you know, your main goal there was to kind of stagger enemies quickly. You know what I mean? Like fill up that bar at the top so they take more damage or they can't attack you. Whereas this is, I guess, there's that topple. They call it topple in this game, where if you can inflict enough damage, they'll topple and won't be able to attack you. So I guess to a certain extent, there's that kind of goal in the battle metagame. Yeah, but there's...
But, I mean, it doesn't sound like you're actively controlling each individual attack of the characters. You're more sort of giving them a rough guideline of what to do, and they kind of work
that
out.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so...
But it is still very action RPG-esque.
Yeah,
the way that you are moving him around.
You are moving him around, but it's definitely not like, say, Kingdom Hearts, where every button press is correspondent to a move that you do, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Like, yeah, you're still going through a menu, but it's more like a, okay, now do this automatically now.
Yeah, okay, it's kind of weird, but it's good. Like, I love it. Like, it's modern feeling, but it still has the same depth, I guess, and strategy to a normal RPG.
Well, I keep on seeing it compared to an MMO-style RPG, and that's what the battles actually feel like, just without broken animations. It's, you're moving around, but you're still kind of relying on timing and waiting for cooldowns and...
I guess it sounds basically a little bit MMO-esque, except that because it's running locally and not having, like, as you say, broken animations and lags, and it's all... It sounds like, yeah, you are kind of directly controlling things in real time as opposed to kind of just putting in commands and waiting for them to play out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a nice... It's probably... Because I haven't really seen it before myself, I don't play too many JRPGs, but it feels halfway between an action RPG and an MMO in terms of combat.
Yeah, I guess that's the easiest. That would definitely be the easiest way to describe it.
Yeah.
Yeah, halfway. Yeah, definitely. I think that, like, the only thing that I really don't like about it, and I still don't like about it, and I don't think that X is going to solve this problem for me either, is that to me it's just visually quite generic. Like, the setting itself is very unique. Like, you know, these two giant titans just froze mid-battle, and, you know, and people colonized on the titans, and one titan is the evil guys and one titan is the good guys. Like, really cool setting. But I don't know, like, everything to me is just so...
Plain. I know what you mean.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not bad, but it's just really plain.
Do the areas, like, lack their own, I guess, personality? Like, you can't really tell different
like you've
places
seen it all before.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, oh, it's a big grassy plain. Oh, it's a dank cave. Oh, it's a seaside town with an army base attached. Like,
oh, wow.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, straight out of Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah, like, it's so, like, by the numbers in that aspect.
But on the flip side, the first time I walked into it, was it Section 9? Sector 9, whatever it's called?
Yeah.
How open it was. There was no kind of fog of loading or anything like
that.
Yeah,
like,
and seeing that in 3D as well was actually very stunning.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
It's more of a technical feat than a
like they did well in getting it all to run, whereas they didn't necessarily do well in designing it, visually speaking.
Yeah.
I just, like, and I hate saying stuff like this because, you know, these games have such a bigger budget and stuff, but Final Fantasy games look so good and so, like, distinct, like, from game to game, whereas this, to me, is just so, like, just generic. I don't know how else to describe it.
I've got a bit of a question. It might be best, I guess, James, you probably have more of an idea, but feel free to jump in if you want, Troy. Like, With it being on the 3DS, do you feel like it's better, worse? Like, if I haven't played it and I wanted to play it, would you recommend looking for a Wii copy, or is the 3DS one, like, good enough or better to, like, say that that's what you recommend?
I think... I mean, I guess, yeah, I would like to hear what Troy says, because, Troy, have you played the Wii one at all?
I haven't.
Yeah,
but,
so, I'd like to hear what you say after what I say, but, like...
Yeah, go on.
I think that, like, it wouldn't matter. Like,
okay.
It's because the stuff that they really dialed down for the 3DS version is stuff like, you know, you might notice the backgrounds are, like, say, looking like, if you're on the field, you're looking out into the sky and stuff, the textures and stuff for the sky or the clouds or whatever will be less detailed, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Like,
yeah.
They've really chosen to kind of dial down the effects in places that are, you know, really, I guess, unnecessary. Like, you don't need to
stuff
have...
that doesn't matter so much for the game play.
It's kind of it's the best way to describe it, actually, is, you know, the Wii U version of the Xenoblade stage in Smash Bros, how that is visually quite complex in the background.
Yeah, yeah.
But then on the 3DS version, like, it's still all there, but it's kind of dialed back a bit.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know if that helps to describe
the difference.
I kind of see
what you're saying. It doesn't feel like in, like, it doesn't feel not suited to a portable console. Honest, like, some games seem like they should be played on a big screen or a small, but I guess sometimes RPGs are better on a portable, like...
I think that this is, it's a little bit, it's just a little bit weird because you're playing a game that was obviously made for consoles, like, you know, and I mean, yes, you have the save anywhere thing, which makes it much easier to pick up and play for short amounts of time. But then at the same time, it's a game that you really get lost into for ages. And to me, that doesn't happen as much on handhelds.
Okay.
So you have this kind of mental conflict, like, you're not, I'm not used to that happening. And that's just probably me personally. Like, I never play a handheld for probably more than an hour or two. Whereas with Xenoblade, you could easily sink at least 2 to 4 hours at a time if you're really into it.
Okay.
So I think it works either way. But I don't know. I wouldn't recommend either version over the other. Like, either of them would be fine, like, equal. Okay. I wouldn't say either was better.
So if it's probably not worthwhile, like, trying to source a Wii copy because they're expensive.
Nah, definitely not. Because,
like,
how much is a Wii copy these days anyway? Like,
$180.
Yeah.
Far out. Well, there's my choice made.
So, yeah, I wouldn't even bother. Like, I think that you would get the same experience. Like, you know, even with headphones, you know, the audio sounds great. Like, it's not that badly compressed. Yeah, and that's something I really want to talk about, is the music is amazing as well. Really good.
Mm.
And you'll probably hear it throughout most of this episode, but it's really good music. Anyway, Troy, what do you think playing a 3DS version? Like, do you feel like there's something missing, or?
Well, I've never played the Wii version.
Yeah.
But the problem that I'm finding with the 3DS version, and I think Nintendo really nailed the fact that with handheld games lately, people play for like 10, 15-minute bursts. And a lot of the games are geared towards that, other than a few obvious exceptions like Zelda. But it's still short, whereas Xenoblade feels like the sort of game that even when you kind of complete a quest, you're still going. It doesn't feel like as a bigger milestone, so you feel like you have to play more, which on a handheld isn't easy.
It sounds like from what I'm gathering, it sounds like it doesn't really, like with that milestones, it doesn't have any place where it seems logical to stop playing. Like, there's no point, like, yes, I've completed this episode of Resident Evil Revelations, or, you know, something where you can say, cool, I've done a thing, I can feel okay stopping now. It just seems like it keeps going.
Yeah, well, I think like Zelda, you get a checkpoint, it's a new item, or I finished a dungeon, or I got a piece of heart, whatever. In Xenoblade, it's like I finished a quest, and the story is developing, so I want to keep going.
Ah, okay.
It doesn't feel like one of those, like, cut-off points. And the in-game save thing that James mentioned actually does help a bit, but I still find myself not playing in big bursts. It's just, maybe I just get distracted easy.
Yeah, I mean, that's possible. Like,
it feels like a console game. It's not a handheld console game.
Yeah, that's because it isn't, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
It's kind of like, you know, when people say, oh, how good would it be if they just chucked, you know, this console game on a handheld and just made it prettier, like when people were saying with the PSP when that first came out. And that, to me, was a reason why the PSP didn't do that well. Like, the games weren't really tailored for a handheld experience.
Well, I had this exact same problem with Uncharted on the Vita.
I was literally just about to bring that up.
Way too long. Yeah, well, I think it's the best example of handheld gaming typically works better with, like, chunks, small chunks.
Certain genres work better, like, I think the small chunks, it works, like, that's generally a good rule, but then there's me who, during some terrible, fantastic times of my life, have spent, like, 6 hours straight playing Persona on Vita. Like, I don't know. I think chunks for most games, but, yeah, there are some games where I can just completely get engrossed and just never leave my room and just play.
I've definitely done that
forever.
In Persona as well, so I get where you're coming from. For some reason, Xenoblade, I mean, it's more of a concern. I'm not having so much of an issue with it. I've barely scratch the surface of the game just because I'll start playing it and then, I don't know, dinner will be ready or I'll get a phone call or I have to go out or something like that, and it's just hard to really, really get into it.
Maybe it's just one of those games where you have to actively say that I'm going to be playing this for the next hour or two or three and just sort of commit to it and, you know, not have any other commitments during that day.
Yeah.
I think this is one thing that I don't like as well about it is, and I don't know if this kind of ties into what Troy said, where, you know, things don't feel, I guess, there's not big enough milestones, is the quests themselves, like the side quests, are very generic. Like, they literally are named, like, you know, Monster Quest 1 or Monster Quest 3. And then it's like, kill these monsters in this area, get a reward. Like, it's so...
We're designed in a
spreadsheet. That does sound very MMO.
That's so, yeah, it's so, like, why? Like, I don't need a big story, but give me two sentences, you know? Like, just to give me something. It just seems really half-assed and put together really quickly to fill the game, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Like, those monsters gave me an evil eye the other day. Go kill 30.
Yeah, that'd be something.
Go murder their family for me, please. Like, teach them never to do that.
Children.
Yeah, like, it's just a bit... That's a bit weird. Like, I don't like that as much. But it is probably, like, if you were going to make an RPG for a handheld without changing it, this is probably the best one to do it for, because you can save anywhere and there's a fast travel system, and it doesn't really affect the flow of the game that much.
And, I mean, worst case scenario, you can just close your 3DS and... put it on charge and just
throw it
out to pick it up immediately. Well, you could do that if you want.
Throw it in the bin.
Yep.
No, not doing that again.
Again?
Okay. That's another story for another time.
Yes. But yeah, I mean, I definitely recommend it. Like, $60, I think, is quite reasonable for a game that this is this big and has a scale of this scope. Scale of the scope, does
scale
that make
of
sense?
The scope in it. It's big in its scaled scope size.
It has a great scope and a big scale.
Thanks.
What you mean.
Amazing music and
great music.
Just you know, a little bit of an average visual presentation, I guess. Anyway, I think that probably is as much as we can say about Xenoblade. I guess just to finish up, Troy, would you say yes or no to buying?
Yes.
Yeah.
The story and the cutscenes are actually really entertaining.
Yeah.
There was one thing I actually forgot to mention is the English accents don't bother me because they're not French people.
Did they bother people before? Did people?
I heard so many mixed opinions about it back when the first one came out. Like, I think there were a couple of games where.
Because Last Story, I think, was as well, and so was Pandora's Tower at the time.
Yeah, all these games that came out where it's like, oh, it's fantasy, so they must sound British. A lot of people got annoyed, but I don't know. British is whimsical to me.
The only thing that I don't like is, like, ever since I played Smash Bros. And ever since Shulk came out in Smash Bros., like...
And he's really feeling it.
Yeah, all those memes and shit, they've just ruined a lot of the scenes for me.
But they're all different English accents. Like, there's a bit of Cockney in there, there's a bit of... I don't really know the names of them, because there's so many English accents.
Oh, there are so many,
It didn't just pick one and go, okay, everyone's Cockney.
Everyone's from London.
Yeah, they're all different English accents. Like, Ryan's got this kind of almost... It's not Cockney. Shulk's Cockney, and then Ryan's weird. I don't know the name of that.
The official name.
The official accent is
from
weird.
From the weird region of the UK.
It's a Welsh town. It's spelt weirdly. But yeah, so Troy recommends buying it. I definitely recommend probably buying it too. I would not say... If you're into this kind of thing, you'll love it. Like, and if you're kind of someone who was disappointed by the linearity or the kind of, you know... like, only focus on presentation of the, you know, Final Fantasy 13 games, then I would definitely recommend it as well.
Yeah, and for a third of the price of the Wii version now.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Anyway, I think that wraps up our discussion for Xenoblade.
Burrito.
Yep. Like a burrito. Why? Anyway, we will go to a quick break and we'll return to just wrap up the episode. Like a burrito. We're back. So on the site since the last episode, I think the only new review that we thought of was Xenoblade Chronicles 3D. I wrote the review. I guess if you listen to everything I said today, there'll be no surprises when you read it. But I still loved it. as you can probably see by the score. I don't know. Did we talk about Metroid last time? Zero Mission? No, maybe.
I don't think so.
If we didn't, if we did, I apologize. But if we didn't, there is a review for the Virtual Console re-release of Metroid Zero Mission as well. I liked it, but I kind of, playing it today with a more critical mind, there was a few things I didn't like about it, but it's still a really good game, so I would definitely recommend it. On the videos front, which it's nice to have a videos front.
Yeah,
now.
We have one of those.
Yes. We have the second episode of Daniel's Touching is Good series, which is, this one is about the Wario, is it WarioWare series?
Or yeah, WarioWare series on DS, yeah. DSi.
So the first episode was about Metroid, this one is about WarioWare. And Troy's doing some amiibo videos for us, the first of which is Captain Toad amiibo video. So basically it just walks you through, you know, what happens when you use a Toad amiibo in Captain Toad.
Yeah, that little 8-bit screen.
Yeah, surprisingly not a lot of information about that kind of stuff is out there.
Yeah, so I figured to show it off. That's going to be quite fun.
Yeah.
Carving your niche, Troy.
Give us a reason, rationalization for these $18 plastic figurines.
Yes.
Myself first and then you guys, okay?
Yeah. Cool. So that's it from us for another fortnight. I'm not going to say what we're doing next fortnight because we don't know yet. But we will be back in another fortnight's time with another episode. So with that, the website is www.vooks.net. It's like books, but with a V. You can also follow us on Twitter, which is at vooks.net. You can like us on Facebook, which is Vooks. And you can also leave us a review on iTunes if you want to as well. Just let us know, you know, what we're doing well, what we're not doing so well, so we can hopefully get better, because we always want to get better. Right?
We just like that.
Yeah. That's why you brought me onto the show.
Exactly. Instant better.
So modest.
Oh, yeah. I'm the most modest person you'll ever meet.
Yep. So, we will see you in a fortnight's time, and thanks for listening.
Goodbye.
Bye. Oh,